on this hopping a little bit earlier than usual. And one thing I'm noticing about the fact that because we're able to give it just this little bit more attention this year from an earlier start is how rugby people just really don't think about much else. I don't know if it's just all the lads whose GAA county has been knocked out. I think there's a lot of lads who couldn't give a hoot about any other sport, and all they can think about right now is what their club are going to do in the new season.
Yeah, it's I suppose, an exciting time, Rob, insofar as we've had, the bones of 3 months off. So
yeah,
there's kind of, I suppose, a hype and a little bit of expectation towards what's going to happen in the season. So this time of year, everyone's looking forward, planning, conniving, trying to get a couple of new signings in, maybe bring in a foreign player, whatever. So it's kind of unknown territory, and it gets quite exciting at this time of the year.
Yeah, and one of the aspects of that is because, as we grow, this will be less a case, but information in amateur sports isn't as quick to pass around as professional sports. So there's all the rumours and there's all the who's where, and as I said, maybe this time next year everyone will know what you're knock on anyways, but it never stops people just kind of suggesting this guy's leaving, this guy's coming to this club, etc.
Oh yeah, a bit of hearsay, I suppose. Yeah. But I was on the BBC website there last night, and they have a kind of a gossip column for soccer. So I suppose in many ways it's still the same because it's the rumour mill. And dare I say it, but I'm sure there's a couple of illicit rumours put out there deliberately in order to mislead people as to what's happening or what's not happening in a league season. But it's all part of the fanfare. It's all part of the expectations. It's all part of the excitement of a new season in the Leinster League.
We're focused on a few different things, but let's just kind of hone in on a couple of topics we want to talk about today. First of all, that Leinster League and the way it's shaping up. I mean, structure-wise, we've got a very strong 1B again that you know all about. But what about Division 1A? I mean, we were just saying it before the podcast. One of the biggest stories is Wanderers. There's no getting away from it. Them coming into that league has everyone rubbing their hands and everyone really excited about it. And talk to me about why that is. Is it just quite simply the big name coming down to the small provincial clubs?
Well, firstly, I think it's a huge flip for junior rugby to have Wanderers in it. I think it's going to bring an awful lot of appeal to the Leinster League. I think, you know, kind of the traditionalists, if you like, will come out and watch it. They might have walked away from the junior game or the club game to watch Wanderers in Tullamore or in Enniscorthy. It's massive.
Yeah. To get one over the Dublin club, is that what the mentality behind that is? Or is it more, am I giving that a little bit of a disservice by simplifying it that much?
I don't think it is, Rob. I think, though, you know, if you go back at the moment, I suppose we're in a golden generation of Irish rugby. We're winning triple crowns, grand slams. Our under-20s go to a Rugby World Cup and beat the eventual winners. You know, we're competitive at all strands, really, albeit consistency being an issue. But if you go back to the previous generation in the 80s and pre the 80s, essentially Wanderers were the big club in Ireland at that particular time. And you know, a lot of young lads would have went, country boys would have went to Dublin, and they went to Dublin to play for Ireland, and they went to Wanderers because Wanderers had the connections in the business district or whatever, and they got them a job. As rugby went professional, Wanderers didn't move with that. Rowley Meats in last week's podcast gave a very insightful comment on that, I thought, and basically they've been left behind slightly. Having said that, they still have a huge amount of tradition behind them. They've, I don't know how many Irish capped players, they have a number of British and Irish lines, and it's exciting for Enniscorthy, Coolmine, Tullamore, who wouldn't have normally got the exposure of Wanderers coming to them, albeit a downgraded Wanderers. They are coming to town.
I know they're putting in a good bit of effort, Wanderers. I've talked to people in Dublin even before I've spoken to Wanderers, and there's players being, you know, talked to, and they're certainly being serious about how they set themselves up for this league. Is one thing maybe that some clubs will forget that Wanderers have been playing Division 2B, and as I said in one of my reports, they've been going down to Nina, they've been going to Clifton. They're not going to be straight to Brough back a few years ago. They're not strangers to going to provincial clubs and, you know, town clubs like Tullamore and like Enniscorthy. It's, you know, people think this is going to be new territory for them, but in a way, it will be new territory in one sense, but it mightn't be in other ways.
I think that's actually a very valid comment, and one that might be misrepresented in other media sectors. But I think also, Rob, I think that this is different slightly, because in Dublin at the moment, I think there's 17 senior clubs, right? So the best players are going to want to play with the senior clubs.
Yeah.
So Wanderers can be doing all the recruiting they want. At the end of the day now, officially, they're a junior club.
Yeah.
They're playing in 1A. So
when you say it.
You know, when you say it, it doesn't seem right. But yeah, look, I mean, I've no doubt they've Greg Lynch in as head coach. He's a very, very organised operator. He's going to be shaking the bushes looking for some quality new recruits. But they're sparse out there. And it depends, are they going to put a financial investment in to try and make it worthwhile for young guys to go and play with Wanderers, who may have aspirations about being senior rugby players as a train goes by or something. You know, that's a question that they're going to have to answer. But like, certainly in Dublin, they're competing with Newbridge for players now because they're both in the same league. They're competing with Coolmine for players because they're in the same league. You know, Dundalk potentially aren't a million miles away looking for the same type of players. So I don't know, just because they're Wanderers. Remember, I'm told, I actually haven't checked it myself, but no club has come out of the AIL, gone into the Leinster League and gone straight back up. So they're trying to do something that's never been done before.
Interesting. Will their, we just had a random aside question, will their AstroTurf pitch help them in any way? Or not their AstroTurf, but their funny turf, whatever the hell it is. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I think certainly it's an advantage insofar as they'll be used to using it. But I think the other side of that is that all the country clubs are going to be so pumped up getting to tug out in the Aviva Stadium and play literally in the shadow of the Aviva Stadium that it could have a converse effect, actually.
Yeah, and big crowds coming up to Wander as well. I suppose it'll have a converse effect on their clubhouse bar as well. So it's not all bad for the Wanderers folks.
But then again, I would imagine that they would play a lot of matches in Merrion Road anyway, because that is essentially their ground. And I think they have an arrangement to play a couple of games in Lansdowne Road. But my understanding is it's to play it in the Aviva as opposed to play it in the back pitch.
Oh, okay.
The back pitch is kind of an alternative if required.
They did play a few AIL games last year, but it may change it now that it's juniors, because I'm sure most of their clubs do play in those kind of pitches. Listen, going around the country, and what do you expect in this year? We had the four teams go up to the All-Ireland League 2 seasons ago, which last year created kind of an interesting dynamic in the AIL round-robin qualifiers. If anything, it made them a little bit more open, because there was no major force coming through, per se, except for Scurries, who were just the best team in Leinster and a very good side. So how are we there again? Is there any obvious candidate for the All-Ireland League from the four provinces?
I suppose it's going to be a fairly tight campaign in Leinster. I suppose you're looking at Enniscorthy, Tullamore, Coolmine, depending on how they recruit. I mean, it's very hard. Dundalk could bounce back quite quickly. I mean, they won the Towns Cup 2 years ago, so they don't become a bad team overnight. It's difficult to pick out a team in Leinster. I think it'll be very, very competitive. Indeed, last year was very competitive until possibly February, when Scurry started to put a bit of distance between themselves and the other teams. Ulster, God knows, seems to change every year. I wouldn't like to. In Connacht, hard to see beyond Monavay. Sometime soon it's going to click for them. I've been told for the last 6 years that they're an agent side, but every year they seem to go out and be able to reinvent themselves with a new team. So
Boys Club are trying to add to a team that won a trophy and got second last year.
What did they win? They won nothing. They won the colleague.
It's a bit of silver.
If you go back and you look at the junior cups for the last 15 years, I think you'll find that the senior clubs have won something like 9 or 10 of them, or something like that. Those figures mightn't be exact, and I apologise if they're not. But they've definitely definitely won 50% of them, right? So you know what. Let's put the Collie Cup as the end of season. A lot of clubs don't field. A lot of clubs don't give it the respect that it deserves.
Okay, what about second in the league and the first ever All-Ireland Junior Cup? That in itself is good progress. I mean, they haven't even finished in the top four for the last 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. In Ambrose Conboy, they've certainly developed and they've certainly gone the right direction. Ambrose showed his credibility and credentials. We've been involved with the Connacht Junior side last year. That was an amazing feat for himself and Corey Brown. Kudos given, kudos noted, very good. But look, they're a work in progress. I would suspect that they don't have a team identity. What I mean by that is there's not too many pure boys club boys that when you cut their veins, they bleed white blood. There's a lot of sky blue and a lot of black, blue, white and navy and a few country boys thrown in. So maybe they're a bit away from having that identity. If you go down to Monavay and you cut their veins, they bleed black and red. And I think that's carried them over the line a couple of times.
Sounds like the rant that got Sligo fired up about 4 years ago to knock Monavay off their perch. Who knows? But there's a lot of logic in what you're saying. And it's only July. I don't know if Boys Club would be that bad with you, because you are agreeing that they did very well to get there.
Without doubt. I mean, without doubt, they've probably progressed the most in Connacht Junior Rugby in the last while. But like I said, you know, there was a huge gap between Monavay and second in that league. Monavay had the League One very early in the year. A couple of clubs flattered to deceive. One or two clubs may have even went backwards last year.
Yes.
So it's very hard to substantiate where Boys Club are. Having said that, Ambrose Conboy is a very good coach. And secondly, they kept it going right till the very end when everyone else had given up on the Cawley Cup and not given it the respect that it deserved.
All right, to say in Ulster, yeah, it's hard to call, and that's fair enough. Cook looked strong. Donaghadee, it looked good in the Junior Cup, but yeah, and then you had Clara Valley coming all the way to win the when I say the Junior Cup, the Towns Cup, of course. Clara Valley went all the way to win the league, but it's hard to see any AIL candidates there, and it's the same in Munster. Richmond, they're the team to knock off their perch. What about Kenturk? They've done so well to develop that club, got into an All-Ireland Junior Cup by finishing top four last year, and they think they can push on a bit. Then there's Skibbereen, Junior Cup finalists, Clonmel, a team that made the semi-final and a lot of potential.
Junior rugby in Munster possibly isn't as strong as the perception is that it is, but that becomes, I think, from the fact that senior rugby in Munster is very, very strong, insofar as the best players tend to gravitate regardless towards the senior clubs, be it through dual status or throwing their innings in, if you like, with it. So yeah, you're looking at those clubs. You're probably also looking at Crosshaven, Rob. They 2 years ago they won the junior club.
Lost
they
a lot of players last year.
Lost a lot of players, but regrouping and coming back, bit of ambition. I mean, Munster is wide open, Old Christians. But I think, in fairness, Richmond. Again, we don't, you know, the rumour mill is out there, but they've had Pat Humphreys there for a while. He was given a huge amount of leadership to them. Marty Cahill was there coaching on the sideline. They're definitely going to be a fairly grizzled and garnered front pack with Marty involved, you know. So, really, if I was a betting man, I'd be kind of saying, because it's not home and away in Limerick, in Munster, it's only once.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be going to Richmond.
All right, fair enough. Well, listen, we've covered the full rounds. We won't even go near the All-Ireland Junior Cup or any of that kind of stuff because we just need to see how the season develops. So we're certainly not making any predictions yet. But juniors,
outside of saying Monavé and Richmond.
Yeah, that's true. We're making predictions. I'm getting dazed. It's a midweek day for a chat. Listen, this is our Junior Rugby podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to kind of, when we have more info, to give you even more depth. But we haven't done too badly there, Niall. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Robert.